Well, we're going to spend a little time in the book of Acts tonight. I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 3. You know, there's a verse in Philippians that we'll be looking at next week. And its context is holding the word of life. And it's when we hold that word of life, referring to God's word, it's kind of neat too because it's called the word of life. You know, God's word is called a number of different things. It's called the word. It's called his holy word. It's called the word of deliverance. It's called the word of righteousness. Isn't that something? And each one of those things, it's emphasizing what that word is, what it brings. And the word of life is because it's God's word when believed that imparts life. And when we hold on to that word of life, it says that we shine as lights. We shine as lights in this crooked and perverse, and I forget what King James says, but it's the word for generation. Basically meaning all who are alive at that time. Today, when we hold the word of life, we shine as lights in this crooked and perverse generation. You shine as a light. That word perverse, it means to distort. To distort from the truth. That's something. To distort from the truth. God's word is true. It is the truth. We use the phrase at times where we say, make Jesus Christ Lord. Have you made Jesus Christ Lord? I'm here to tell you, he's Lord. Whether you acknowledge it or not, he is Lord. God made him Lord. That's the end of it. And the day will come when every knee will bow. Every single person will not only recognize him as Lord, they will acknowledge him as Lord. Isn't that something? And you and I, by God's grace, get to do that now. See? And get in on all that he's accomplished. But it's God's word that's true. It's God's word that's true. And the only thing that brings deliverance to a man or a woman is that word of God regarding Jesus Christ. There is nothing else. There really isn't. There really isn't. You know, the world sometimes gets real confusing. Sometimes. All the time. Right? And it muddies the waters. God's word makes things clear. It makes things clear. The reality of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done is true. It is absolutely true. He is coming back. That Spirit of God is absolutely available. It's real. And everything that God says we can do, we can do. We'll read a record tonight. Where men were just absolutely convinced it was the reality of who they were. And the deliverance that resulted because they simply walked in that reality of who they were and what Jesus Christ had made available. And what they held forth, what they spoke about, was Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny. You can talk about a lot of things. You can talk about a lot of things, but I tell you, you're going to cut to the chase real quick when you bring up Jesus Christ. And you get in there with Jesus Christ. That name will bring amazing deliverance to a life. But I've also seen people over the years willing to talk about fellowship. willing to talk about the Bible. But when you get right to Jesus Christ, they don't want to talk so much. Because that's the bottom line. It's Jesus Christ and what God accomplished in him. I want to pick it up in Acts. We're going to read, these are familiar records, but I want to pick it up in Acts chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "Now Peter and John." Now this is shortly after the day of Pentecost. Okay? And, well, maybe we'll come back to that. Shortly after the day of Pentecost. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask an alms of them that entered into the temple." This man was born lame. He couldn't walk. In the East, and this still goes on today, in the East, there were two reasons for men asking alms. One was because they were really poor and they wanted some money. The other was to show humility to God, to put themselves in the most humble type of situation that they possibly could. This man very likely falls into that second category because he was a man of some means, because he was carried every day. He had people to carry him. He had people to take him back home. And what it was that he wanted and why he did this was he needed healing. And this was a way in the East to show great humility. Verse 3, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he," this man, "gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Peter was absolutely convinced of what it is that he had. This was absolute reality to him. He had that spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. And with that spirit are the manifestations of spirit. The word speaks about these things and what's available to every believer. Now, some people are ignorant of it. Some people choose not to believe it. Some people, whatever. But it's available. And Peter was a man who walked. He just walked with God. And this is what was reality. Not the man's situation. What was reality was what he had to give. Verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood," and what? Walked. This man had never walked. It's quite a miracle. He'd never walked. And he immediately stood up and what? And walked. He didn't have to practice. He walked. Matter of fact, it says, I think he leapt. He leaping up stood, right. And walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't that something? And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. See? Now Peter, by virtue of the result of what he did, he had the authority to do this. He received information from God. You know, it's possible Jesus Christ walked past this man. It's really something. But at this time, this man had whatever it was needed to be healed. You know, I think of a record where Paul was preaching about Jesus Christ. He was teaching about Jesus Christ and what God did in Christ. And it says he perceived that a man had the believing to be healed. And he said to that man, stand up. You know what happened?
He stood up.
He was healed. See? Verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh? He was blessed. I'm not letting go of these guys. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us? As though by our own power, or the word holiness is actually the word godliness. By our own power or godliness, we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Jesus. Now we're getting right to it. Whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. Literally, this word prince is translated from a word that means leader. And a better translation is kind of beautiful, is a leader down the path of life. He went first. Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through believing, through faith, through believing in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the believing, which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so what? Okay. He hath fulfilled it. All those things which he had showed by the mouth of the prophets. What the prophets spoke about was the coming Christ. And some of them wrote it down, wrote some things down. The subject of God's word is who? It's Jesus Christ. That's the subject of God's word. That's the point. See? You know, there's a place in the Gospels where Jesus Christ said, you think you know the scriptures? They are they which testify of me. You don't know the scriptures. Because the scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. That's what the scriptures make known. The coming Christ and God having fulfilled that which he promised and that which is available concerning Jesus Christ today. It's Jesus Christ. That's the subject of God's word. I want you to keep your finger here. And there's another record that you guys know. But I want to look at it in Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. All that the prophets spoke. You know, and that was the doctrine of the apostles. Earlier in Acts, it says that they abode in the apostles' doctrine. What they had was the word of God, the word of the prophets regarding he who would come and how it was fulfilled. See, that's what they had at that point. That was the apostles' doctrine. And it was doctrine regarding Jesus Christ. See? On the day of Pentecost, they heard speaking in tongues. They wanted to know what this was. What did Peter hold forth to them? Jesus Christ. This same Jesus. See, this is what Joel prophesied about. And it's fulfilled. See, and he got a right to Jesus Christ. See, and if you believe on him, you'll be forgiven. Luke 24. This is a fun record in God's Word. Let's pick it up in verse 13. This is, by the way, this is after the crucifixion. And Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. It's kind of interesting because, let's back up a few words. Verse 6, this is the angel speaking to the women. He is not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? At the end of verse 5. He is not here, but is what? He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women. Verse 11, and their words seemed as what? Idle tales, and they believed them not. That's something. These men, had they been taught about Jesus Christ getting up from the dead?
Yeah.
Oh, many times. Many times. Jesus Christ had taught these men. He had taught them what he was going to do, what he would have to suffer, what he would have to go through, but that he would get up from the dead in 3 days and three nights. As Jonah was in the whale of the belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. See? He taught it over and over again. And yet, when the women came back and said, we saw this angel, and he said he's risen from the dead, to these men it seemed like idle tales. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, it's exactly how the world works. What these men had just been through, even though they've been taught, they saw their Lord brutally tortured, brutally murdered, go through unspeakable shame for hours and hours and hours. And they saw this dead body, this man beaten more than any man, it says in Isaiah, buried. Isn't that something? And just all of these things and the pressures, they couldn't accept that he was risen from the dead. The men who had been with Jesus Christ and had been taught, they saw Jesus Christ raise Lazarus from the dead. But that's exactly how it works. That's exactly how the world works. It'll just squeeze the word right out. And then the things of the world are more real. And the word is what's foolish. See? I start picking and choosing what it is I want to believe. These kinds of things. That's what happens. Well, anyway. What did I say? Verse 13? So after these events, in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they're talking, they're walking, they reasoned, and reasoned Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I love this record. And their eyes were held that they shouldn't know him. And he said unto them, what you guys talking about? What's going on? As you walk and you're sad. Why are you sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? You haven't been around? And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since or away from when these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre. Peter was one of them. He ran. And found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have what? All that the prophets have spoken. See, what they spoke about was Jesus Christ. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That would be a CD right there to have. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. It's nice to hang it with you guys. You have a good night. But they constrained him, which was an Eastern custom, please come eat with us, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. What they would do in the East is kind of neat. They would, please eat with us, eat with us. No, I can't. I need to go. Please eat with us. Eat with us. Sorry, I can't. Please. And they would do it three times. And then upon the third time, you would say, okay. It was a custom. It's kind of neat. I guess if they didn't come back three times, you know, they weren't serious. But anyway. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now, this is amazing. They knew him. They had seen Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. But the next thing they say is, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the what? The and they were the scriptures concerning who? Jesus Christ. The scriptures concerning himself. Did not our hearts burn within us? See? Jesus Christ spoke about Jesus Christ through the word. See? That's what brings deliverance. That's what melts a heart. That's what will open a heart. Is speaking regarding Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has made available. See? That's the truth. Sometimes people have difficulty with it because sometimes it's too good to be true. I understand that. Speak it anyway. Because it's the truth. And what they're believing is a lie. That's that perversion. That's that distortion from the truth. See, I can never be good enough for God. That's a distortion of the truth. And when we preach Jesus Christ, we shine as lights. See, we blow that distortion from the truth out of the water. We speak regarding Jesus Christ. We make known Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? What an awesome privilege to do that. You know? It's incredible. It's the greatest thing you can do. The greatest thing you can do. Because it affords the person an opportunity to have eternal life. Let's go back to Acts. All right, we left off in verse 18. Verse 19.
Acts 3,
yes. Verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the from the presence of the Lord." Isn't that something? We get to preach this. And this is absolutely true. This is the truth. When anybody believes on Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you speak Jesus Christ, you hold forth Jesus Christ to somebody, it's refreshing. It is refreshing. The things regarding Jesus Christ and what he's made available, that's refreshing. Being blessed with all spiritual blessings, that's refreshing. Having eternal life. That's refreshing. Not having to think about or even be concerned with any type of future judgment because you've been judged righteous in Christ. That's refreshing. Isn't that something? And that you don't have to be sin conscious. See, that's what we do for people. That's what we teach. That's what we make known. Jesus Christ. Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." That day will come. "Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." See, the prophets saw Jesus Christ coming in his glory. Jesus Christ spoke about it in the Gospels. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." You know, a prophet like unto me, it's regarding Jesus Christ. And like unto me, Moses, the word says, and God said, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. That's something. That he knew Moses face to face because of his meekness. A prophet like unto me. Jesus Christ was very meek, was he not? No one has ever humbled himself to the degree that he did. He obeyed his heavenly Father. He was meek. Prophet like unto me. "And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." See, these days regarding the coming of Christ. I want you to go down to chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read a little bit here. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them," the religious leaders of their day, "being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them on hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word that word spoken by Peter, they what? They believed. And the number of the men were about 5,000. Isn't that something? Now, you know, they list the men, but besides that, there would have been women and children. So it was a greater number than 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders," it's really where that ends, "of Israel," is not in the text, "if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole." It's by Jesus Christ, by what he accomplished. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." This is the stone that was prophesied of, that you would stumble at, that you would trip over. That stone that you would stumble at has become head, chief stone of the corner. Isn't that something regarding Jesus Christ? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be" what? "Saved." Boy, that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. Now, the world offers many ways. They offer many non-ways. For those who don't want a way, they offer the way that everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's got a spark of the divine. Everybody's got this. Everybody's got that. Or you got this, or you got that, or you got... It doesn't matter. None of it matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe. That's a distortion of the truth. That's perverse. Isn't that something? God's word is true. God's word is true. Truth is truth. Either it's true or it is not. There's a phrase that is popular today, "my truth." That's just another way of saying a lie. It is. That's just saying I'm lying. My truth. You're lying. Truth is truth. Do you understand that? It is so simple. Truth is truth. And people have difficulty with that. They think that's hard. They think that's mean. But truth is truth. And God gave Jesus Christ for mankind. That's the truth. And the most loving thing that I can do is make known Jesus Christ, so somebody has the opportunity. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," they were without credentials. They didn't graduate from Jerusalem U. That's all that means. "They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them," didn't say much. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they considered among themselves, saying, 'Wow, do you think there's really something to this? Wow, this man was really healed. We know it. We see it. We saw it.' No, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is clear." It's clear. They saw the miracle. They didn't care. These were the same men that paid those men large money who were supposed to guard the sepulcher of Jesus Christ and came afraid when they saw the angel roll away the stone. And they said, they shared that. And the priest said, oh my God, he's risen from the dead. No. They said, we will pay you large money. Large money. You just tell people that his disciples came and stole them. Isn't that something? These were evil men. They were evil men. But you know what? Evil men never count on the Spirit of God. These were evil men. But I think we just read there were 5,000 men that believed that day. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. There were 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, right? Mm-hmm. This thing's moving. See? Because people are believing on Jesus Christ. Saying, what should we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done. It's manifest. It's clear to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. See? Let us threaten them and command them not to speak in this name. It's something. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, your call. You judge. For we cannot but speak the things which what? See. We cannot but speak the things which we see on earth. This was reality. This is reality. What Jesus Christ came to bring. And what they had were the scriptures of the prophets that prophesied. But you know what we have in addition to that? We had the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? We had the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. All that he's accomplished, all that he's available. See? Things regarding the mystery of the one body. It's beautiful. What we can hold forth to people. That's refreshing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. See? That's right. You know, the world sometimes will intimidate you. Boy, and the world's good at that. You know, when you think about or you speak about Jesus Christ, make you seem odd, make you seem whatever. You know? But it's the truth. It's the truth. And when we hold that word of life, we shine as lights. We preach Jesus Christ, we save lives. That's the truth. And that's the privilege that we have to speak regarding Jesus Christ. Don't let the world talk you out of it. Don't let us. We don't want that. We don't want the world to talk us out of it. See? Just go along to get along. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You? I don't want to do that. You know, I want to be able to walk with my Heavenly Father and make available what it is He's made available to all men. See? It's pretty neat. It's a neat privilege. You know, we love people. You take care of people. We do those things. But really, the deliverance comes in preaching Jesus Christ and making known Jesus Christ. That's where the deliverance is. See? Because that's the only name given under heaven whereby men are saved. So, amen. I love to tell the story. Yeah, we sang that earlier. So, I'm going to...